back and forth, we text Kathy about, well, Dad mainly, but also about Mom once in a while. Last night, it was worse than this morning. He's still in very serious condition, but at least he would chomp on some ice chips today, and at least he would listen to the nurse, "Why are you drawing blood?" and tell her thank you after he understood it. So, always very serious, worse yesterday, a little better overnight. One of the key things will be a swallowing test, and that should be happening tomorrow or soon. So please keep thinking of Michael. Carol is his wife, and Kathy is daughter, Kathy McCarty, and then Jim McCarty is son-in-law. Most of the time, we would not teach about God and government unless it were a 4th of July coming Sunday, or maybe Veterans Day. Well, we are in Romans 13 as we study our way through the book of Romans. And so Paul wanted to get to God and government. His special subdivision here is God and the police and the courts. The reason for that is at the close of Romans 12, he said, "Do not take vengeance." Now, the list of wrongs is very big. We have lots of relatively secondary wrongs that should be overlooked. On the other hand, if you give a full list of wrongs, you have very serious wrongs. And we would assume that could be a crime list. And so he will go from the close of Romans 12 to give no revenge to Romans 13, which will be let the government do the punishing. So we're going to mainly think about Romans 13 today, but I think we can go back to the close of chapter 12 and study a little bit about evildoers and revenge. So let's read the close of Romans 12 over again, even though we did it last time. Verse 17 to the end. Romans 12, 17, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you," can't always control it, "be at peace with all men." Verse 19, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will reap burning coals on his head." He's quoting the Old Testament there. Final verse, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I grew up in a farm country, and we had Amish and Mennonites all over the place. The horses and buggies would come down in front of our house. I went to school with Amish. Also, others who were Mennonites that didn't ride horses and buggies, but were a rather Mennonite worldview. They come to mind when we get to this God and government section. In Pennsylvania, where we also lived, whenever the military recruiters would come to a school, the pastors would come to the school also and tell the students not to listen to the military recruiters. So they come to mind. I would take it that the one here is over and done with. It's over with. Don't take revenge. On the other hand, if something is ongoing and a crime is going on now and somebody is in trouble, then it is okay to fight. I'm going to take Romans 12 as something happened in the past. It's over and done with. Don't take revenge. Give the crimes over to the government. But not in this context, but in other places, if something is going on right now and someone is in danger, when it was okay to protect the person in danger, or even self. Exodus 22, verse 2, would cover that in the Old Testament. It's talking about a nighttime and somebody breaks in, and you don't know what they're up to. And if a person in Exodus 22 protected his home, that was fine. An even better verse is Proverbs 24, 11, and 12, which I quoted last time. And on the way out, there were some references to it. So I would like you to look at it again. We didn't turn last week, so let's look at Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. And while you're finding Proverbs 24, we'll give a couple of Bible stories. Remember, kidnappers came and got Lot, the nephew, and Abraham went and got him back. Remember when Moses went to Midian and the girls were drawing water for the sheep, it was typical for the men to come up, let the girls do all the work, and the men chase them off and water their sheep so they could do it all over again. And Moses wouldn't put up with it. So there's a couple of cases of saying, no, you're not going to do that. I've long thought Proverbs 24, 11, and 12 is especially important when a dangerous, even deadly wrong is going right now. It's not like Romans 12 and it's over and done with and it happened in the past, now don't take revenge. It's like right now. And that's Proverbs 24, 11, and 12. That's why I wanted to go ahead and turn there this morning. Verse 11, deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are starving to the slaughter, hold them back. If you say, see, we do not know it, does he not consider it who wears the hearts? Does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to every man according to his work? So, looking at say Proverbs, and then Romans, I would say Romans 12 concerns something that is over and done with, is past, don't take revenge, and we'll kind of review all the different options there, but if it's very serious, go to the courts with it. It's over and done with, don't fight now, go to the courts, that'll be Romans 13, go to the courts, let them punish them. But the main lesson is it's over and done with. It's not like Proverbs 24 where they're going to kill your family right now. It's not over and done with. It's ongoing. I do not agree with doing nothing. That's why I started out with being a little bit too pacifist. You know, I actually don't agree, don't believe in police or army or anything, and never any time ever fight back. Well, that's kind of why we're going to Proverbs 24. It's happening right now. They're coming right now. It's not over and done with, and you have to decide what you do next. It's right now. Now, Romans 12 is talking about don't take revenge for something that's in the past. It's over and done with. There's all kinds of options. Number one is love covers a multitude of sins. If it's not that big a deal, let it go. That's the best way to live, by the way. Let a whole lot of it go. If it's a little bit more serious and you can't let the sun go down upon your wrath, and you can go to them in private and start that way. Matthew 18, if need be, take a couple of witnesses along. The point that it would be there is you don't have to be around them any more than needed. But crimes, go to the courts. If it's happening right now, protect the family. If it's over and done with, go to the courts. That's the transition between Romans 12 and Romans 13. The wrong is done. don't take revenge, let a lot of stuff go, it's very serious, go to the courts. That's why now we go back to Romans 13, that's why he transitions between don't take revenge, and it will be heavy in that Romans 13 of let the courts punish them. So Romans 13, we will keep reading in today's main section, verses 1 through 3 is how it will start. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. The rules are not a cause of fear for evil, but not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now, he's talking to the Romans. He's talking about the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, without me giving illustrations, was way worse than the United States. I do agree we're trending downward, but still, when you look at the Roman Empire, they were a lot worse. And even so, the first part of chapter 13 is place self under the government. And the second part is God has ordained the government. You know, we're going to go off in several directions, but let's just keep with this main one for a minute or two. Quite a few other verses on obeying the government. Jesus said in Matthew 22:21, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Titus 3:1, remind them to subject themselves to authority, to be obedient. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every institution, whether to the king, which we don't have, which I'll comment on in a minute, to the king or to one in authority or to the governor sent by the king for the punishment of evildoers and the praise who do what is right. So very clear in the Bible, Romans 13 is mainly what we're doing, but adverse, very clear to obey the government. The context of this is let them deal with the criminals without us taking personal punishment upon the criminals. That's the actual context. Coming would be pay taxes. So the actual subjects in mind are let the courts deal with the criminals. And if the danger is over and done, don't take revenge. And then coming, which we haven't read yet, but coming, pay the taxes. Now, another subject here we need to add is we are Americans, so it is all right to tell the government you don't agree with them. This comes to mind, I'm really glad I went to seminary in Washington, D.C., because if you have time off, well, we go to the Library of Congress, or we go watch the committee hearings. So I remember a banking committee hearing in the Senate. Fascinating. They were deciding all this money stuff. And a guy stood up right in the middle of it, didn't say a thing. And they talked and they talked and they talked. And they finally, a senator said, the chairman of the committee, Mr. So-and-so, you've been really nice. What is your opinion? And the senator was from Maryland. The guy standing up was a farmer from Kansas. And he nicely said, you guys don't have any idea what you're talking about. I really liked that hearing. He was respectful, but this is the United States. He has every right to stand up and tell the senators, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, in the end, I don't even know what the government did. The banking committee wrote through the farms. I don't even know what they did. But number one, it's okay to tell our government you don't agree with it. In the end, they do what they do. And this would say, comply with it. But I do need to add, obey the government when it's not asking something to disobey God. To obey the government was not asking something to disobey God. There are lesser and greater commandments. Matthew chapter 5, and we read it in our Jeremiah study this morning. Lesser and greater commandments. Now, what happens if the government orders a commandment against a greater commandment of God? There are cases in the Bible where there is disobedience. One of them, for heaven's sake, is the book of Exodus, throw all the boy babies in the river. No, they don't throw the boy babies in the river. They disobey the government to obey God's higher law. There's a couple of them in the book of Daniel. You know, bow down to this statue, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're Babylonian names, because they don't have their Hebrew names memorized, but they're not going to bow down to the statue. They're going to suspend obedience to the government and obey the higher law. Daniel did the same thing, don't pray, throw them in the lion's den. I think of the Christmas story where King Herod said, come back, wise man, and tell me where this newborn Messiah is. And then God told them in a dream to go home a different way. They obeyed the higher command of God and the lesser. So what this is telling us is to obey the government, even when it's a pain, and don't disobey the government on everything, but if there is a point where the government calls on people to disobey God's higher law, we don't have to obey the higher law. Sometimes the higher law is rather easy to see. We had this in our scripture reading, Acts 4, 19 and 20, where they told them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John had been ordered not to speak or teach any more about Jesus. The answer, we ought to obey God rather than humans. So there are times of disobedience, but not on everything. It's kind of like if they're commanding to disobey a higher law of God, we keep the higher law of God and suspend obedience to a government command to disobey a higher law of God. We have it in World War II, turning all the Jews. And I know how the occupied Europeans felt that were believers. It's like, we're not going to obey that, but their attitude also was, we are obeying the government, we are obeying the occupied government in England. And they'll come back someday. We're going to disobey Hitler and keep the higher law. A little bit on ethics. Situational ethics is the individual gets to decide what's best. The situation would make them choose, I'll do what's best for me. Well, situational ethics is not biblical. Closer, but still doesn't work, is absolute ethics. You have to obey it. And that works with everything until they conflict. Until a human authority is telling you to disobey God's authority. And what I have given you is hierarchical ethics. Hierarchical ethics is that there are greater laws and lesser laws. And on the point, if a government is telling you to disobey a higher law of God, you don't need to do that. You obey the higher law of God and you suspend anything the government says that is against the higher law of God. Now there's another situation that really isn't in Romans 13, but it is in American history. Romans 13 would concern disobedience to a government. It's more like an individual says, I'm not going to do that, or a church says, I'm not going to do that because it's against the higher law of God. If it's not a commandment of God, you have to do it. And a lot of it is a pain. I remember going to Lansing when I was a kid, and the Christian schools were all there and all that, but they were talking about heating and cooling and fire codes and all that. And my thought was, that's not really a Bible command. It might be a nuisance, but it's not really a Bible command. It's not like Michigan was commanding them to throw the Bible away. It was like, it's about the building. So anyway, we have to obey the government unless it says to disobey a higher law of God. This whole topic so far does not involve fighting them. It's really different. Romans 13 would involve obey them. Other verses would say obey them unless they tell you to do something that's evil, a higher law of God. Don't throw the boy babies in the river and don't go back to Herod. What about a violent overthrow of the government? I hope we don't have to decide that. Because in 1776, the Christians had to decide, do you obey the king in London or obey the government in Philadelphia? There's two governments. 1860, you have to decide, do you obey the government in Washington, or in this case, do you obey the government in Austin? That is bad. That is bad. I don't think an individual has a right to go shoot the government. I don't think a church has the right to go, we have a right to disobey. I don't think we have a right to go fight. We won't be having a church board meeting anytime about whether to fight. But there have been cases, and it's bad, where the Bible says to obey the government, and the citizens can't decide which one. Because there's more than one government. So far, they are not fighting. So far, they don't have the police and armies in the streets fighting. They do have a lot of disagreement. A lot of disagreement. I can give you a list. One of them is marijuana laws. And the federal government may say one thing, and the state government says another. Another one is gun laws. Federal government may say one thing, state government says another. The border's going to be that way. Federal government does one thing, state government does another. There's going to be a whole lot of these. They are at disagreement. They are not yet at fighting. Thank God. But it has happened. Over time. Can you imagine 1776? London says this. Philadelphia says that. Which government do you obey? And the real truth is the Christians went all over the place. The Episcopalians, the Church of England, said honor the king. They were for England. The Presbyterians, who are Scottish, never liked the king. And the minute there were two governments, fight the king. The Baptists in Rhode Island couldn't figure out which way to go. And stayed out of it for a while until England threatened to impose a state church. And they were Yankees. They waited to see. It's bad when there's more than one government. And if obey the government, which one when they're fighting. Now, it's kind of bad, but I'll give you Dutch history a little bit because it's easier to understand than American history. Spain ran the Netherlands, and the Spanish emperor was burying Christians alive. He would bury Christians alive. He would threaten to bury your wife alive. You miserable Protestants. That's a little bit kind of a serious problem. So all of the provinces got together and said, we are in rebellion. The Bible says to obey the government. We will not obey Spain. We will obey the Netherlands. And they fought. Now, the reason I use that's a little bit clearer than 1776. It's kind of like, this emperor is going to come and bury your family alive, and you have over here the second level of government that says, no, we will follow what's right. So if we ever had a real revolution, if one side is evil and one side is good, then that would be clearer. And it's bad. Obey the government. If you got two of them, you got to try to figure out which one is more holy, which one is right than the other one. Terrible. But me, I wouldn't rebel against the government, so you've got more than one government rebelling. And I would not make that individual choice. I would not have a church board meeting and say, we're all going to get guns and go shoot the government. Church level would be disobedience, though. And I think the Bible does have disobedience of individuals or believers. If it's something that's against a higher law, don't have to do it, but might have to take the consequences. So you have that with the book of Daniel. Take the consequences. Protected in the fiery furnace, protected in the lion's den, but they didn't obey. Well, that's a lot just for the first three verses, but obey the government. If it's not a moral matter against the higher law of God, best to put up with it. If it has to do a higher law of God, disobey a higher law of God, keep the higher law of God and disobey the government. Relative to fighting the government, I don't think that's an individual decision. I don't even think it's a church decision. But it happens when there's more than one government. Better hope we don't have it. Past generations of Christians had to figure that out. More than one government fighting each other. Well, let's move on, because the main subject here is courts, not so much violent overthrow. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is wrong, do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on those who practice evil. Therefore it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Now, we haven't gotten to taxes yet, but we're still dealing with crime and punishment. And what is said in chapter 12 is, don't take your own revenge. It's over and done. Don't take your own revenge. Now, if it's happening right now, protect your family from the criminals. But it's over and done. Don't take your own revenge. Leave that over into the courts. And the courts are supposed to punish the evildoers. Now, that reminds us of the word sword. They beheaded people in the Roman Empire. Right? That's how they would deal with a citizen. They would behead a citizen that was under trial. So this was talking about the death penalty. And that brings to mind the topic of the death penalty. I would say the death penalty for murder is pre-law, and here in Romans 13, post-law. The law of Moses had many, many other death penalties in it. Burn the witches, stone the homosexuals, the death penalty, I think, for rape, death penalty for kidnapping. But we do have to make sure we know we're not under the law of Moses. So we don't have to do that. Our government doesn't have to do that. It does not have to impose that penalty. Many of the wrongs passed over into the New Testament, but the punishments did not. But the reason I'm saying that I think the punishment for murder did. So whatever we think about what crimes would be capital punishment, murder is capital punishment. Here it is, after the law of Moses, even if we're not under the law of Moses, here it is, the bearing of the sword would mean execution. And the capital punishment for murder did not begin with the law of Moses. It began when Noah got off the ark. And it was saying, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for he made them in the image of God. So right after the ark, God imposed capital punishment for murder. My point here is that is pre-law. And Romans 13 is post-law. So if you say the law has been abrogated and suspended, yes. So all those penalties, all those infractions did not pass over. But murder is Genesis 9:6, and murder is Romans 13:4. There should be capital punishment for murder. Now, I don't know what I am supposed to say, but I think you'll have interest in the past. I did 600 crimes last year. I was on the grand jury. I did 600 of them. Some of them were murder. So, yeah. Every Wednesday, every other Wednesday, all day long. So, capital punishment for murder is before the law, Genesis 9, it's after the law, and here a reference to a sword. Now we finally get to a new thing, although I wasn't going to preach this the whole time. Pay the taxes. Verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Well, there are other pay the taxes. Let's just give a funny reference. In Matthew 17:26, the temple authorities want a tax, so Jesus says, throw a hook over here, and up comes the fish. They'll find a coin in its mouth, pay the taxes. I use that one because that helps show Matthew is the author of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. He's the only one that gives the story of Jesus saying, throw the hook over there, catch the fish, and pay the taxes. That helps show that a tax collector like Matthew made sure that got in his book. And it goes along with pay the taxes. Let's go ahead and look at Romans 8. 13, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, starts giving the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Well, verse 8, owe nothing to anyone. The first part would be pay taxes, pay legitimate debts. Okay? But then it goes into, if we love other people, we will do what is right. If we do what is right, we'll pay our debts. That's how it goes from one thing to the other. And the commandments here are all relationships with one another. The relationships with God are not listed here. They're actually number one, you shall have no other gods before me, you know, and love the Lord your God with all your heart is number one command. But in reference to pay your debts, he gives relationship commandments. And the next commandment is to love your neighbor. And if we love the neighbor, we'll do these things. If we love other people, we won't commit adultery and break up their family. We won't kill them. We won't steal from them. We won't be envious or jealous of them. So loving your neighbor, where we actually do it, takes care of these commandments to one another, which actually goes back to if you love your neighbor, you'll pay your neighbor money if it is owed, branching off from paying our taxes. Now we look at the final verses of Romans 13 before we close today. And the final verses of Romans 13 are kind of like, verse 14 has become like Jesus. Let's read verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's behave properly as in the day, that everybody can see and everybody knows, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in strife or jealousy. Main point, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Now, can you remember the beginning of Romans 12? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't let it pressure you into its mold. Be transformed, metamorphosis. Become like Jesus. And all this stuff follows. Become like Jesus. So becoming like Jesus is not taking revenge. Becoming like Jesus is let the government take revenge. Becoming like Jesus is paying your debts. Becoming like Jesus here at the end is going back to the beginning. It's going back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't be in their schematic. That's the Greek word. Don't be conformed to them in their schematic diagram. Be transformed, metamorphosis. Be transformed into becoming like Jesus. And we're already back to it. Verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Becoming more like Jesus. But this relates to all the other topics, is don't spend all our lives getting even with people. Because if we spend all our lives getting even with people, it will take away from becoming like Jesus. That's how all these topics are related. We would say they're not related when we look at the subsections, but they are related. Don't be like the world. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus Christ would pay his debts. Lord Jesus Christ would, it's okay to protect someone that's in trouble right now, but if it's over and done with, let the courts deal with it. And don't spend all our days getting even, because it will take away from putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. The start of Romans 12 and the close of Romans 13, I think they go together. And the main topic is become like the Lord Jesus. And that would mean, don't try to get even with everybody. Let a lot of things go. Love covers most, a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4. Is the glory of a man to overlook a fault, Proverbs 19. Let a lot of it go. And keep doing what is right, because in that way we'll become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, please.